Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's lovely to welcome you here this morning. And before Tim leads us in our worship this morning, I've got one or two things to bring to your attention. One that is not on the notices, and that is that the Wednesday Bible study is this Wednesday, the 21st of August at 7 o'clock. So all those who normally come to Bible study this Wednesday, please take note that it is on. Our defibrillator, which we've been sort of expecting for some time, was delivered last Wednesday. I met an electrician here this morning, and he is going to come on Thursday and install it. So we expect that defibrillator to be available to the public as from probably the week after that, by the time that we've been through all the procedures with the North East Ambulance Service to get it recognised in its location and that it's ready for use. I will act as guardian for it. I've asked Ashley if he'll act as deputy guardian for it. He's having to think about that. But it'll be the first aiders who will look after it, I would think, since it sort of falls within our bailiwick. We have to inspect it every week. We have to certify it every 4 weeks that it's healthy for it to remain on the North East Ambulance Service network. So there's quite a sort of a rigmarole to go through to keep the thing up and running. But there we go. It'll be on the wall at the top of the slope, you'll see it, a big yellow box will appear, and that will be the publicly available defibrillator very soon. As you've come in, you've been given one of these. This is the consent to use your personal information, which we have to ascertain as a consequence of the General Data Protection Regulations, which are not church friendly, it has to be said, but they're meant to catch people who are annoying to us, like cold callers and so on, but we get caught just the same because the net has to be thrown very wide to make it work. So in order for us to keep you informed about things that are happening in the church or in the circuit or, as it says, in the district, or about things like the clothes bank and the food bank and the clothes bar, or about things like our coffee mornings where we fundraise, we have to have your express consent to let you know that these things are happening. And also, if you're taken ill for any reason, then the only way when a minister or a pastoral visitor going to visit you in hospital can locate you in the hospital is to know your date of birth, because the first thing they ask you when you go to reception is, what's their date of birth? And if you haven't got it, they won't tell you anything. They won't even tell you where they are. So in order for that to happen, if you think you might need, and hopefully you won't, if you think you might want to have that information known, then you would need to provide your date of birth. That is not generally available. That will be kept by our circuit administrator and will only be surrendered on demand if a minister needs to have it for any particular reason and will have to state the reason why they want it. So any information you give will be held very confidentially and very securely and won't be sort of left lying around the church. If you are concerned that somebody might see your information, there are envelopes with the box at the back of the church where you can deposit your completed forms, if you don't mind, please. If you've got any concerns about privacy, there are envelopes which are labelled Dentonburn Methodist Church, GDPR. Just pop it in there, seal it, and stick it in the box, and that makes sure that nobody can see it. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. A lot to take in there, yeah, I hope you've got that. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all here this morning. It's nice that the sun is sort of trying to shine today, and that's lovely. Welcome to any visitors that we may have this morning. Sadly, just to say, we haven't got any Sunday club this morning for the younger ones, but that's kind of due to unforeseen circumstances. We didn't know until just really before the service. So I do apologise if that causes any problem. Welcome to our communion service, and which we'll be partaking in communion later on. And just to say, all are welcome at the table here today. Thanks to those who came to support Grace and Albie's wedding yesterday, and sorry for those that discovered just beforehand that unfortunately we couldn't go ahead with the wedding ceremony because, of course, Albie, bless him, is in hospital. You know, there was nothing we could do about that, but, you know, the food was booked and everything, and so Grace decided we'll just go ahead and have it a bit like a coffee morning and a celebration. And so that went ahead and their family caught up, and, you know, I think it was an enjoyable do, and, you know, as good as it could have been in the circumstances. But, you know, we'll continue to hold Albie, who's in Cramlington Hospital, in our prayers. And looking at the blue slip that authorises us to do the wedding here, it looks to me like it's valid for the next 12 months. So I thought it was only for yesterday on the date, but when I looked at it again, it looks to me like it's valid for the next 12 months. So we just need to get Albie out of hospital at some point and we can have the ceremony here, which is where they want it. And so that would be lovely. Just one more notice, just to say that at the end of the service today, and you're all, please all stay for coffee and that, I've got to rush off to a meeting. So I hope you don't think I'm being rude, but I will have to leave fairly swiftly just to get to a meeting. So I do apologise for that in advance. Okay. Oh, is that? Oh, hi, Henry. No, I didn't. Oh, well, we'll give you a round of applause. Well, it's lovely to see you. I hope you're not marking out of 10 this morning. So, but you're very, very welcome. Lovely to see you. That's fantastic. Are you visiting for a few days or? Just for the day, just for the day. Well, it's lovely to see you. Welcome. It's probably been a while since you've been. Yes. Lovely, fantastic. Well, I've brought some more funny typos just before we start. I've got what was it? Yes, this was from some church notices where they're advertising at 10:30 and a dongs of praise in St Mary's Church. I don't know what that consists of. Perhaps just ringing the bells. I don't know, in the dongs of praise. This one, the offertory hymn, all creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sin. and this one, a golfing one, they're all going to sing glory to tea, my God, this night. hopefully that will be all the typos for today. We're going to sing our call to worship song, and the prayer for today will be in the call to worship song on the screen. Come now is the time to worship. And if you'd like to keep your fingers in number 51, that's it. All right, you're just about to change. If you'd like to keep your fingers in number 51, we're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness immediately afterwards. Right. You might have to switch it again, Liz, because I've just plugged it back in. Let's see how we go. Please work. No, has that not worked? Okay, can you switch it back to the other one, please? Right. Let me just do this. Right. Yes, it is. There we are. Okay. Let's stand to sing. Come, now is the time to worship. We continue singing now as we sing about the faithfulness of our God who is with us in the easy times and in the difficult times too. Let's sing together number 51. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Father, we do indeed thank you for the blessing of being able to meet here together this morning. And we do indeed thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us, that even when we stray and lose our way at times and get things wrong, you're always there to pick us up and wrap your arms around us in love, just like the Father welcomed the prodigal son. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you that the one who was there at the very beginning of creation with you, Father, and indeed was active in the very process of the universe coming into being, emptied himself of all that heavenly glory and came to earth, born as a person, just like all of us here, so that we might know God on our level, so that we might really see how your love operates in the day-to-day, healing the brokenhearted, seeking out the lost, and bringing about forgiveness and peace for each and every one of us. Father, as we meet here together this morning, please teach us, prompt us through your Holy Spirit, how we might more reflect the light of Jesus in our daily lives, so that like him, we find ourselves naturally serving rather than being served. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Right. I've got a picture. Is it coming? Here it is. Okay. I don't know if anybody saw this chap in the news this week. He's an Italian astronaut. Did anybody see him on the news? No? All right. Okay. Well, if I ask you what he did this week, then you're probably not likely to know. He actually did something that was a world first on Tuesday night last week. He's currently above our heads because he's on the International Space Station, the ISS, so he's kind of looking down on us at the moment, you might say. But believe it or not, he's actually a time-served DJ, okay? And on Tuesday night from space, he actually he DJed a set of songs live down to a cruise ship in the Mediterranean. They were dancing away while he led them from the International Space Station. Pretty amazing. And there's a little blurred picture there of the cruise ship and everybody dancing away and him leading the songs up in the space station. It's the first time that anybody has DJed from space. A few weeks ago, we thought about the big Jesus as described in Colossians, the one through whom all things in the universe were created and in whom all things hold together. So, you know, the big Jesus in all his glory. Well, maybe you can lead dancing from the International Space Station and the glories of the International Space Station. But 2,000 years ago, mankind's dance of life, if you like, had gone awry. We'd lost our way and we weren't dancing to God's tunes anymore, you could say. And no DJ leading from somewhere else would do. The Bible tells us that Jesus, the big book of Colossians Jesus, gave up all the glories of heaven, emptied himself of all that glory to come down and be like one of us, appearing as a normal human being to be a light for us. And having given up all the glories of heaven to do that, he then gave up his own life on the cross, taking upon himself all of our mess ups and sin that separated us from God, so that we might be forgiven and we might find new life. We've got that song that we always used to sing in school assemblies, Lord of the Dance. Well, he gave us a new dance back in relationship with God, did Jesus. But let's call it a new march because it links much better with the song that we're about to sing, which is We're Marching in the Light of God. If you'd like to turn to number 483, 483 in your books, we're going to sing that one now. Sorry, I should have got the tambourines out and stuff, but I didn't. We can still clap away, though. We can use our hands as percussion. So let's stand to sing together. We're marching in the light of God. We have our two Bible readings for this morning now. The first one, Psalm 25, verses 1 to 9. And then we've got a reading from the second chapter of Philippians that focuses on that idea of Jesus emptying himself to come and be one of us. Not sure who's reading this morning. June is reading. That's good. Thank you.
Psalm 25, verses 1 to 9. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are God, are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Amen.
Imitating Christ's humility. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And may God add his blessing to his holy word. Amen.
Oh, there it is. I've lost it. Lost my little clicker. Jesus, the passage from Philippians that we've just heard says that Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. The word nothing in the Greek is the word kenos. Sometimes people talk about kenosis. In some translations, it's translated as the word empty. And so sometimes people think of it as Jesus emptying himself. He emptied himself of something of his godness to take the nature of a servant for our sakes. Have you ever approached somebody that you rather liked to ask them for a date? It's a tricky and tense moment because, in a sense, you're revealing the fact that you want more of a relationship. There is a sense in which you're extending yourself to that someone. You're inviting them on a date and you're making yourself vulnerable. Because at that point, when you pop the question, you're placing the control of the relationship in their hands. Because now they have a choice. Yes or no. Or perhaps there's the third option from time to time that I encountered, run. But for the purposes of the illustration, there are two choices, yes or no. And so the person you're asking can say no. You're giving them the options and the control in the relationship. They can now decide where the relationship goes. Does it extend and develop further, or is it over? When we extend ourselves, whether it's asking somebody to dance, whether it's asking somebody to marry you, whether it's serving somebody, loving somebody, when we extend ourselves, when we reach out to another human being, we're giving something away. I'm giving away the control in the relationship. That person can say yes or no. They can go out with us or they may not. They can respond with love or they can respond with a wall. And so handing over the control is a risky thing to do. When you extend yourself to another human being, it's really risky because you're giving them options. You're giving them the opportunity to respond or to reject, the opportunity to return, to give back and take the relationship further, or to simply flee, to run, to reject it and say, I don't want that. So it's a very risky thing to do. And so love is risky. If you've been hurt or betrayed or cheated on or dumped, then you know what I'm talking about. Love is risky. When you love, you run a great risk. And this is true to a degree for any kind of relationship. And so to be people who love, to be people who live the Jesus way, is to be risky people. Because our hearts may get stepped on from time to time. Love is risky. Now, it could be said that love and control exist in a tension, because I think it's fair to say that in most cases, love and control exist as opposites. When you love somebody, you are giving them control. And when you try and control somebody, you are usually not loving. If you know somebody who's very, you know, controlling and manipulative, and they're always trying to get you to do what they want, and always trying to control you, that person is not generally a loving person. But I guarantee you that the people that you know who are the most loving tend to be the least controlling. Because loving people are not controlling people, and controlling people are rarely loving people. Jesus understood this fully. And that's why he always called his followers to live a certain way. In Matthew chapter 20, and we won't read all of it now, one of the mums of Jesus' disciples says to Jesus, I want my sons to have prominent places in your kingdom. And Jesus talks about what his kingdom actually looks like. But notice at the end, verse 26, but not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man, Jesus referring to himself, didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You could say that this was the ultimate act of extension or love, of sacrifice. So when Jesus talks about real life, about being the greatest, about what the first are like, he always speaks in terms of becoming a servant or a slave. Why? Well, because loving people aren't controlling, and controlling people aren't loving. And Jesus is always calling his followers to love and service and being a slave to others. Now, by slave, he means an awareness of living with others and saying, I'm going to place their well-being ahead of my own. Let's turn to Job. Job 38, because this raises questions about what God is like and what it means for God to love us. Question, how do you love if you are an all-controlling being? After all, God is in ultimate control of all things, isn't he? There's that beautiful poetry in the book of Job painting that vivid picture about God's relationship to the created order. Do you send lightning bolts on their way, he says? Do they report to you, here we are? Verse 37, who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars of the heavens? Who makes it rain when the dust becomes hard and the clods of earth stick together? Can you bind the beautiful Pleiades? Can you loose the cords of Orion? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons, or lead out the bear with the cubs, a reference to a galaxy, an organization of stars? Do you know the laws of heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? So when God is speaking in this beautiful poem, he says, do you give orders to the lightning? Do you make it rain? Do you say to this galaxy, move here, and to this group of stars, move there? The implication, of course, is God saying, no, I do. That's what I do. I control the whole created order. I have dominion over everything. Let's go to the book of Isaiah 45. God speaking through Isaiah says, do you question me about my children or give me orders about the work of my hands? It is I who made the earth, and I created mankind upon it. My own hands stretched out the heavens. I marshal their starry hosts. It's like God saying, do you question me about how I do things? I made people. I made the universe. I stretched out the heavens. So if you're an all-controlling God who has the kind of power, that kind of power and control, how do you then love? How do you come to people in a form, or how do you extend yourself in a way that won't be based in control? For love and control are usually opposites. They float in tension. How do you love if you're an all-controlling being? Well, you give up control. And Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being found in human likeness. You give up control. You empty yourself and make yourself vulnerable. In John chapter 19, we're given this picture of Jesus on the cross. He's mocked. He's stripped. Lots of undesirable things happen to him. And Jesus ends up on a cross. In verse 28, it says, later, knowing that all was now completed, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. So if Jesus is God, you have Jesus on a cross. Tired, exhausted, beaten, half naked. He's been spat on. He's got blood on him. And he says, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on the stalk of a hyssop plant and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. And when he received the drink, Jesus said, it's finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So the picture we're given is of a bloody, bruised, naked Jesus. Nothing. Who's at a point where he can't even get himself something to drink. And he has to get help in order to get a drink. I'm thirsty. And somebody else gives him a drink. And so it is that the scriptures say that Jesus, being in the very nature God, didn't consider it something to be grasped, but voluntarily emptied himself, made himself nothing. And you end up with a Jewish rabbi, naked, spat on, blood on him, bruised, battered. Can somebody get me something to drink? Jesus is God coming to us, control free. Here I am, in my naked bloody vest, here I am, helpless, unable to even get himself something to drink. Now, many people would say, yeah, but God's all powerful. God can do anything. So how do we reflect upon God's power in the light of this? Because you could say that the cross is God's way of saying, I can't do everything. Does that sound a bit heretical? But God cannot make you love him. God cannot turn your heart. God can't force you to desire him. God can do the impossible. God can do the miraculous, but God can't do everything. God, for some reason, in his power, has chosen to set it up this way. I can't make you love me. Jesus is God control free. And so it is that God can make the Grand Canyon and the solar system and DNA and babies and the coral reefs with 1,000 different kinds of fish and thousands of different colours and leaves that explode in 1,000,000 shades of orange and red and yellow. And the human brain, God can make a human brain and people of all shapes and sizes and colours. God can invent taste and touch and sensations and awareness, and God can bring us hope and faith and love and friends and people who will carry your burdens with you and that smell when your favourite meal is being cooked. And God can give you a heart that beats without you having to tell it to. God can make a heart, but God cannot control what it loves. God cannot make you love him, because in love, you have to give up control. And some might say, no, God can do everything. Yes, God can do everything. But among those things, this includes creating a world where God can't do everything. That's how powerful he is. He can create a world where he's not all powerful, or however you want to say that. The cross is God's way of saying, I can't make you love me. I extend myself to you. I give myself to you. I make the first move. I pursue you. I'm passionate about you. I want to know you. But I can't force myself into your hearts. There's a phrase that's quite popular among Christians. The ground at the foot of the cross is level. And there's a lot of truth in that. God loves everybody. And at the foot of the cross, because of Jesus, anybody can come to God. So wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whatever you haven't done, however dark your past, whatever skin colour, however brainy, however not so clever, whether you've never cracked the Bible or whether you've memorised the whole thing, one of the central messages of the scripture is whatever you've done, Jesus says, you're accepted and loved by me. We as Christians celebrate the ground at the foot of the cross being level. It's open to anybody. But you could say that the ground at the foot of the cross is level for God too. Because in love, God has chosen to play by the same rules that we have to play. And in love, when you love someone, you give them options. When they'll come to you or they'll reject you. Whether they'll receive or reject, whether they'll say yes or whether they'll say no. Love is risky. And love is risky for God too. Human beings are a huge risk for God because some of them may say no. No, I don't want to know you. I don't want to walk with you. I don't desire you. I don't want to serve you or worship you. So love is risky. And it's risky for God too, because the cross is God's way of saying, I can make your heart, but I can't control it. The cross is God's way of saying, I can create your heart, I can place it in your body, but I can't make it beat for me. The cross is God's way of saying, I can give you feet to walk, but those feet may walk away from me. The cross is God's way of saying, I can give you desires, but I can't turn your desires to me, because in love, God has chosen to play by the same rules. So to be a Christian is to be filled with this sense of desire and this sense of, I want to know you, God. It's God's invitation to us. Here I am. I'm stripped. I'm emptied. I'm nothing here. I'm thirsty here. And how do you respond? Perhaps when we make a commitment to Christ, it's kind of a way of saying, yes, God, I'll dance. I'll accept the invitation that you extend to me. God is passionate about each and every one of us, and he surrounds us and he keeps going. He keeps loving. He doesn't give up. There's a passage in the Psalms that says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. But the word follow carries with it the idea of pursue. Goodness and mercy are going to pursue me because God is desiring people who will say, yes, here I am. Here's my heart. Here are my desires. Here I am. Let's pray. Dear God, we're a people who are trying to grasp that your power could be so great that it could have created this kind of setting where you choose to make yourself vulnerable through Jesus. It's so humbling on your part, Father. It's so emptying and stripping, and this is hard for us to wrap our minds around. We pray for anyone who would feel that you are a God who is angry at them, that feel that you are a God of control, a God of hate. Please show them what your heart is like. Show them the truths of a Messiah on a cross, offering himself to us. Lord, help us to make tangible steps closer to you, to say yes to you. We want our hearts to beat like yours. We want you to know that we love you, and we're going to pursue you because we understand that you keep pursuing us. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the almost shocking, subversive elements of the cross that turn upside down some of our notions of truth and what you're like. Show us greater truths and show us how the world works and how the universe functions and how we can live as you created us to live. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that you are. Amen. We're going to sing now from your red books, number 287. Number 287. And it's to the tune which I think you will know, Oh Waily Waily. When I gave it to Malcolm, he thought it said Oh Wally Wally. It's Waily Waily. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Lord, in response to your grace and love for us, we offer you our hearts, our lives, our all. Lord, we lift to you all our resources, and we pray, Lord, that you would use all these things for your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You can remain standing, actually. Oh, no, sorry, no. Please be seated. I do apologise. Lynn's going to lead us now in our prayers of intercession. Thanks, Lynn. Jeez. Watch that wire. In fact, I'll move it out of the way.
There is a response to the prayer. When I say, this is our prayer, can you please respond with, we ask it in Christ's name. This is our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name. Let us pray. We pray for those whose minds are filled with anger, for those whose lives are wrecked by the bitterness within them, for those who feel that they have been betrayed by society and that it did not protect them from evil people, and for those who have harboured feelings of injustice and hate, for those whose longing for revenge has crippled their lives, and for those whose experiences of life has made them hard and resistant to love and compassion. May the mind of Christ soften their hard hearts. This is our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name. We pray for those whose minds are confused and for those who are finding it hard to understand who they are and where they are anymore. And for those whose memories seem to have been lost, and for those who can remember but are unable to share their memories with others. For those who care for those who are confused, and for those who are grieving for the person they used to know and love. For those whose minds are so filled with doubt, fear, and anxiety that they are unable to live in the way that God always intended. May the mind of Christ give them hope. This is our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name. We pray for those whose minds are filled with selfishness and greed, and for those whose thoughts are wrapped up in their own needs, concerns, and selfish plans and dreams. For those whose minds are evil, and for those whose thoughts are far from God. For those whose minds are filled with temptation to cause hurt to God's world, their neighbour, and themselves. For those whose thoughts are translated into acts of crime, vandalism, and abuse of other people's lives. May the mind of Christ bring healing and cleansing. This is our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name. We pray for those whose minds are full of joy, for those whose thoughts are good and right and true, for those who fill their minds with the Word of God, and for those who daily seek his presence and his blessing. For those whose first thoughts are always for the good of their neighbour, and for those whose example of love bring hope to others. For those whose words and deeds lead others closer to God, and for those whose whole life is a prayer of thanks and praise. May the mind of Christ bless others through them. This is our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name. We pray for those whose minds are still searching for a meaning and a purpose in life, for those who are near to the kingdom of God, and for those who are being touched by God's grace. For those whose minds are focused on God's service and are seeking his will for their lives, and for those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, that they may give praise and glory to Christ's name. For those who have allowed Christ into one small corner of their lives, and for those who are becoming more and more aware of God's intention to be Lord of all in every way. May the mind of Christ bring God's challenge and his call to freedom. This is our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name. We pray for those whose minds are focused on the daily search for the needs of the body, for those who are hungry and starving, and for those in desperate need of the medicines we take for granted, for those whose thoughts are affected by their poverty and by the appalling conditions in which they exist, for politicians who turn a blind eye to the real needs of their people, and for those who genuinely care but are overwhelmed by the scale of the task. May the mind of Christ bring them courage and hope. This is our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name. We pray for ourselves and the thoughts that fill our minds, for those who are ill, in hospital, or in need, about whom we are concerned, for those whose pain and sorrow touch our hearts, and for those whose fears, worries, and anguish allow us no rest or peace. We pray for ourselves and God's requirement to love ourselves, as well as him and our neighbour, for our need to be open to God and to allow ourselves the freedom just to be, for our need for rest and renewal and wholeness and to value ourselves just as Christ does. May the mind of Christ bring us contentment and life. This is our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks, Lynn. Thank you. We move on to our time of communion, and in the normal way, if you would like to respond when the words are on the screen with the words in yellow bold type. Can I ask you all to stand if you're able? So in Christ, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through his blood, which was shed on the cross. So the peace of the Lord be always with you. Would you like to share a greeting of peace with those around you? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Sorry there wasn't anyone to do Sunday school this morning. We only found out last minute that Joy wasn't going to be here. I'm sorry. So we continue. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. To give our thanks and praise. Blessing and praise belong to you, gracious and eternal God. Through your living word, you created all things, the majesty of the heavens and the glory of the earth. In your wisdom and goodness, you've made all people in your image and likeness. Therefore, with saints and angels and with all creation, we lift up our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious God, we do give you thanks and praise that in the fullness of time you gave your only Son to share our human nature and to be tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. To set his face resolutely towards Jerusalem and to be lifted high upon the cross, that he might draw all creation to himself. When the hour of his glory came, and loving his own to the end, he sat with them at supper. He took bread, and after giving thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. In obedience to his command, we recall his suffering and death, his resurrection and ascension, and we look for his coming in glory. Father, send your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. In union with Christ's offering for us, we offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice. Unite us in love and peace with all your people, until with the whole company of heaven, we're brought into the presence of your eternal glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And as our Saviour taught his disciples, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The bread that we break is a sharing in the body of Christ, the bread of life. and the cup that we take is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Christ is the true vine. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Lord, we come to your table, trusting in your mercy, and not in any goodness of our own. We're not worthy even to gather up the crumbs under your table, but it is your nature always to have mercy, and on that we depend. So feed us with the body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, that we may forever live in him and he in us. Amen. Receive this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ and feed on the Lamb of God with reverence and with faith. And just to remind you again, all are welcome at this table. And so we pray together. Gracious God, we thank you that you have nourished us with the bread of life and with the cup of salvation. May we who have received this sacrament be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises live in your glory. And we who have known the greatness of your love see you face to face in your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to finish by singing a hymn that those of us who were here yesterday would have sung had the wedding gone ahead. We're going to sing number 503 in your red books. 503, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. So go in peace, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to serve him, to pray and to praise him without ceasing, glorying in his perfect love. Amen.